sports and basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tagway Along for the Ride Zoom and podcast, where you're driven to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get pre-portioned, farm-fresh ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Okay, guys, we've got a lot of work to do. Let's get to it. The Celtics have been extremely frustrating to watch lately, Bob. I do wonder if it's gone to their head. I wonder a lot what's going on with this team. What do you think?
A couple things. I'm annoyed. Annoyed, you know, to the degree that because they blow leads,
right?
You know, and then with Grant Williams, you know, that he could have won the game. You know, he gets involved in a schoolyard, not junior high school nonsense with Donovan Mitchell. Although I gotta say, Max, our boy Max, remember back when he did the throat thing to James Worthy many years ago? You know, so you know, okay, we're living in a little bit of a glass house in that regard. Okay, so point. Well, what I'm gonna get is this. I'm trying to all these games and all the matchups in the NBA, the marquee matchups, and this was definitely one. Okay, all the marquee. No, there wasn't definitely one. But given that they lost twice to Cleveland before that, it was okay. Correct. Point being, who's not playing and who's not playing, and they had three. They're missing three of the top eight.
Right.
Then again, when they lost to the Knicks, they didn't have Brunson, who's been their best player along with Randall for the last all year. Right. So you can't use it as an excuse, but you do have to filter. And if you're projecting into April, May, and June, okay, it doesn't matter. If you were assuming and hoping they're going to have all their components. How many times, a billion or a trillion, have we said they got to have Robert Williams to be whole, to be the real team that they got to be? They got to be, he wasn't playing. And then Tatum, I mean, so we can rationalize it to a degree. But I don't like the idea that the group as a whole is becoming notorious for blowing leads. And my question, and I'll just throw this out there now, I'll get off the soapbox. Do we start eyeing the coach about, you know, how they're being run or not? I don't know.
I think people are getting a little too bent out of shape off seven games coming off the break. You know, again, they're still one of the top teams in the NBA. If you had told me they'd have this record through with 15, 16 games left, everybody and their mother would have signed up for it. Everybody. Okay. So to me, are you worried that they're going to try to flip this? Sure. You'd rather see them right now kicking in full gear like they were a year ago. But a year ago, they had something completely different to prove.
Yeah.
They were terrible the first half. So they had to flip it completely. This year, yeah, it's more of kind of kicking it into that extra gear. I am not worried. I got to say, I know they haven't closed out games. I know they've blown leads. All I'll say is, again, last night they didn't have Jason Tatum on the court.
Right.
If you don't have Jason Tatum on the court, yeah, like, doesn't matter to me. You know, he's obviously one of your – he's going to be the guy with the ball in his hands at the end of the game in crunch time, making plays for himself or others. So I just – listen, if we're still talking about this 10 games from now, yeah, I'm a little bit worried. But you got 10 games here to kind of start to figure it out, get healthy, you know, get some momentum, and then I'll worry. But I'm not worried about it. Right.
Well, I mean, if they go through a slump, you don't want it to be in the playoffs, obviously.
No, you want it now.
Yeah, the question I'd like to raise, and I'll start with you on Jeff, this one, Jeff, is do you think that they take – winning or losing for granted? Like, does this bother them? And maybe it doesn't appear that this bothers them. And maybe that's just my observation from
because who shows emotion in this team? You don't see a lot, right?
Well, you don't.
Tatum,
yeah, and you're
Brown,
right. And maybe Brogdon, that's good.
White, Horford. Like, this isn't a team. This is a stone-faced group of players other than Grant Williams, right? Who else is showing a lot of emotion?
You wouldn't include
Marcus Smart.
You have to include Marcus in that, I think.
Right, those two. Those are the two guys that you know what they're thinking. The rest of the team, I mean, Brogdon, you got no idea what that dude is thinking. He shows nothing, Zero. Tatum, the only time you're going to see it is either when he's playing with Deuce or he's yelling at an official. That's
yelling at an official. Yeah, exactly. Which we got to, you know, it's got to stop. But anyway. Okay, no, I basically agree with you. I don't want to panic. But it's annoying, you know. It's the blowing the leads. It's annoying, no matter. And now I have to fess up. I got to. 2 weeks ago, maybe three, I categorically declared this was the deepest team I'd ever seen, and it was in the aftermath of a game in which they had missing three components and had still had eight guys in double figures, which means your 11th man, whoever we want to say, Muscala, had double figures, and I was I swept away? Was that a rash judgment? Doesn't look good right now, but
because you were like you were putting like Luke Kornet was like Kevin McHale to you at that point.
Well, no, I was putting him as a here's where I frame it in my head, Jeff, and you can dispute, you know, my judgment and in categorization of the players. They all have 15 man rosters and they suit up 12 every night. Okay, and how many really legitimate, competent, you know, you trust, if you're the coach, you trust to put them in the game if it matters, guys that most teams have? 9 at the most, usually.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, the other three guys are interchangeable all throughout the league. You know what I'm saying? And there's guys in the G League and the law schools playing a pickup. I mean, somewhere Europe, but they had 11 guys, I thought, that constituted the deepest legitimate NBA roster I had ever seen.
Well, but Bob, I don't think
I overreacted. I'll admit.
Well, maybe, but you know, the one thing I wonder about with this team, Bob, is that do they get too comfortable? You know, when you won a championship, you could say, "Oh, well, they'll turn it on, or they'll be fine." But at times, they seem to get bored. You know, a little disinterested, and that's okay when you won something.
Yeah. Let's go back to that 28-point lead. I'm watching that game. And then at the end of the second quarter, there were these sloppy, picked-off passes.
Right.
Culminating in that horrendous juxtaposition at the end of the half with the backcourt, the ball going to Tatum, right? I think it was him. Yep. Somebody let the ball, they threw the ball, and the other team was down and scored at the buzzer. And that was appalling. That was sloppy. That was like, we got enough. No, you know, and that's what I'm wondering. I'm asking. I am not accusing Joe Musil of it. I am simply asking. Do we wonder, you know, what's he say to them at that moment?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
But that was horrendous.
He's still a young coach. He's obviously picking his spots. You know, you saw him get into Grant Williams after he talked his shit and missed the two free throws. And I don't know if you read his letter.
I didn't see the game because I was elsewhere. I was out.
So after Grant comes off and again, Grant starts talking and Missoula looks at him and he says, "Stop making it about yourself. Stop making it about yourself."
That's good.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
So, okay. So I think with the right guys, he can do that. I don't know if he's going to do that to Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. I don't know.
It is about Jason Tatum. I
mean, he's got a burden. Guys, he's got a burden in many different ways. You know, the team raised expectations above even what anyone thought when they were 18-4 and they were, you know, clearly running, having the best record in the league. He raised expectations. And you know, and we all said, "Hey, I guess it's going to work out." But we also knew there's going to be bumps in the road.
Yes.
There always are.
This stretch is going to be irrelevant. Right. All that matters is the playoffs for this team. That's all that matters. And again, as long as they get probably one of the top two seeds, you know, even honestly, I'm not even sure it matters in the East. Like again, you're not playing any of the top teams in the first round. You want home court, obviously, if you play a Philly. Right. If you play Milwaukee, it'd be great to get home court. But it's not like you can't win if you have to go to Milwaukee. It's not like you can't.
No, they can. They've proven that. I say that. But, you know, so I go back to something that Jim Montgomery at the Bruins said like 3 weeks ago. You know, they're riding. They're ridiculous. They're on a route to setting all-time records for wins and points. All right? And so their burden is they got to win a cup, you know, because I lived through 71. Believe me, I know – most of our listeners are saying, yeah, well, who cares? Well, I'm telling you, this is your blueprint, Bruins fans. 71. Okay. When they had the best record in the league, they were dominant and they lost to the Canadians. Okay. Jim Montgomery said 3 weeks ago, implied, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea if we got in a losing streak. So we find out how we react.
Yep.
Well, hello, Joe. Oh, you got there first.
Right. That's right. You could give some notes to Jim. Okay. Moving right along now, our old friend Perk and JJ Redick got into it on ESPN. Perk had some thoughts regarding Jokic as an MVP candidate. Jeff, you want to read those?
Yeah. Kendrick Perkins said, quote, when it comes down to guys winning MVP since 1990, it's only three guys that won the MVP that wasn't top 10 in scoring. Do you know who those three guys were? Steve Nash, Jokic, and Dirk Nowitzki. What do those guys have in common? I'll sit there and marinate. You think about it. What do you think about that, Bob? And
Bob has been a voter. How many years did you vote for MVP, Bob?
I don't know. I mean, let's face it. I started covering the league in 69. I was involved in coverage of the NBA as a columnist right through 2012. And even after that, Brian McIntyre, who was the public relations director of the league, gave me the honor of still being able to vote. I remember I said, do you sure you want me to? You're better than those other guys. You know, all right, great. So I still voted for two or three more years into the teens, even though I wasn't covering directly, but he knew I was monitoring the league closely, you know. And so that was very nice. Okay, so I voted, you know, on and off since the 70s and many, many times. And here's the thing I want to say, Perk. All I can tell you is speak for me, but I'm going to take it, extrapolate a little bit. Many, 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 many years ago in the early 70s, a revelation dawned over me. And not that I needed it, but it was good to be, you know, reassuring that I'm watching this league, which is predominantly of African-American players. It's got more, you know, I lived through the era from when there were actually trades made because teams didn't want a black player or they wanted to get a white player. Phoenix and Gary Gregor was traded for Paul Silas because the Suns wanted a white player. Hawks wanted a white player. I lived through that era. And all of a sudden, in the early 70s, I'm looking at the 10 guys on the court who all happen to be African-American. I'm thinking, oh, I see his style. Oh, I see his style. You know, and I don't, they're, of course they're black. They happen to be black, so what? I see style. I see how they play the game, not the color of their skin. And I think in voting, it wasn't a consideration. It wasn't a remote consideration. And I believe that that's true of, you know, fill in the blank, 90%+ of all the voters who have ever voted, and hopefully 99.9%. So come on, Perk. It isn't true.
And JJ Redick called him out to kind of add to this story. He went on there and called them out and basically said it was complete BS. And I give JJ credit for doing it. And I agree. I mean, listen, Jokic is averaging a triple double.
Yeah.
Okay. If he wanted to average 30 points a game, 35 points a game, he could average 35 points a game. But he's just about the best passer in the game right now. Oh, and it's a clinic watching him play. Now, again, Embiid's been great. Tatum's been like, there's been a lot of great players. But to say that you're voting for Jokic because he's white is asinine. The guy is an incredible player and plenty deserving of the MVP 2 years ago, a year ago, and this year.
You know, the funny thing about, I won't say anymore. You're right.
Well, and that's it.
No, you're right.
Bob, spoke from personal experience. So,
all right. So,
moving on.
We're moving on
right now. And I want to get to the Suns because it's interesting. You never know, Bob, how the chemistry is going to work, right? When you bring, I mean, we saw it happen with the Nets. We thought the Nets were going to be dynamite and unbeatable, and it didn't work. But so far, small sample with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, they are crushing it.
I have empirical data available. Are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Okay.
They have played three games together and they're 3-0. Here are Durant's numbers in the three games. 37-7-3, 12-17. 28-9-6, 7-10. 27-6-2, 10-15. 29-42 from the floor in three games as a Suns. Here's Devin Booker. 36 points, 15 for 25. 35 points, 12 for 24. 37 points, 15 for 26. A total of 42 for 70 freaking five. They're clicking pretty well.
They didn't need a
transition period.
They have beaten Charlotte, Chicago, and Dallas.
Okay, right? Fine. Well, Dallas is worth it.
But no, they're not with Kyrie. This is Dallas with Kyrie.
You really think that's a major factor in those numbers?
No, but I think it helps when you start off.
I think what Bob is saying is you can see them, even though they're not great teams. You take a look at the numbers, and they're working. They're not working against each other.
It's interesting. We never should stop learning, about people. You form opinions, and then they do things, and you have to start to reconsider. Kevin Durant. I called him. I said I didn't want him on the Celtics. You remember that, guys? I called him an a-hole. I did on this podcast. I didn't want him on the team, but because of I just don't like the act and it, off the court.
Well, you didn't like the trade demand. That's what you didn't.
Right. Now, the act off the court.
But I will say this, Mike.
Not the act on the court.
But I'll say this.
We didn't need him. I said we didn't need him.
But the trade demand might have been linked to one Kyrie Irving. That's the one thing I would say is there might have been a valid reason there that he couldn't or didn't want to vocalize publicly. But now you look back and you kind of can see it.
What I'm very willing to concede is this guy in a very short list of all-time players is easy to play with.
Yes. Yes.
He's easy to play with.
Yeah.
And Booker is flourishing.
So I mean, Booker's easy to play with.
We all like
Booker's also easy to play with, Bob.
And all right, so let's get to this. Let's just go right ahead. Let's fast forward. Why would we be surprised if they win the West?
If they're healthy, we won't be. If they're healthy, we won't be.
Because
now Chris Paul,
Chris Paul can
be Chris Paul, right?
Yeah.
I mean, DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton doesn't have to do too much.
But he's a quality big man in the modern game. Yes.
Paul,
they've got two guaranteed Hall of Famers and another one who was on his way, Booker. So I'm going to say they got three Hall of Famers in the starting lineup and a very useful big man. Now I'm going to ask you, because I'm not, how do you feel about the rest of the bench? I mean, how do you feel? Is that going to be an issue?
I mean, you got TJ Warren coming off the bench who can score in the second unit, which is good. And then you've got some kind of, Okogie's been good. Like the Georgia Tech kid who I didn't even think would make the league, Torrey Craig, Ish Wainwright. They're just a bunch of kind of junkyard dogs other than TJ Warren.
How much do you
campaign?
Need? Yeah. When you have guys like that, maybe you get a foul trouble game in the playoffs, that kind of thing. You need some, but that's a very formidable, it's core.
Four dudes. Yeah,
that's a lot.
You'll put up against any four.
I'm calling them right now. If nobody gets hurt, if none of those four get hurt, I'm calling them right now. They're going to the finals.
Well, I think it's good for Kevin Durant because the unfortunate situation with the Nets, it was really a blemish on his career. And in all our conversations, I mean, Bob, you've talked about on Twitter, how he gets on Twitter. Jeff, you know him. You've known him since he was a young man, and he can be sensitive. But no one has ever had a problem with Kevin Durant as a basketball player.
He's a great
player.
Easy to play with.
He loves it. He works at it. That was what frustrated me more than anything about his decision to go with Kyrie. It's like, dude, you want to win. We know you want to win. That's all that matters to you. You went to Golden State to win.
Stay there.
Not for your numbers.
Right, so, stay there.
Either stay there or go with somebody else who you can
do. All right, guys. All right, we got more.
I don't want to get out of here without what – do we make of the Knicks? I'm not saying they're going to win the championship or go to the finals or anything, but aren't we impressed? I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Yeah.
I am too. The question with the Knicks is going to be, we saw this in the bubble, them being like semi-relevant. Can they take that next step and does it take more moves? Because You've got your dude in Jalen Brunson. Are we okay admitting
that Maya? Right. Like, no, I love him, but you know what I said? They overpaid him. I thought he was a great addition. You know, a third guard. I wanted him. I want him on my team. I love that guy, but I never projected him scoring 39 points in a game or anything like that, or being, you know, he's a very worthy all-star, and he didn't make it because of technicality. But anyway, you know, to me, no, I never projected him to be this good. I'm happy for him. I love this guy's game. This is a basketball player. This is a basketball player. Yep. He just reeks basketball.
It's funny. I remember talking to him earlier this year. I think I talked to him at the beginning of this. No, maybe it was last season. During last season, I was doing a story on Colin Gillespie. And I asked him, I said, you know, what do you make of everybody talking about all you Villanova guys as robots?
Yeah.
So he said to me, he's like, yeah. We get it. When we're there, we kind of have to be robots. But once we're out of there, he's like, no, trust me. We all got personalities, but it's just kind of the culture at Villanova. And you've started to see that now with Jalen. I'm so happy for him. Again, and, especially in New York. Like, to do what he's done in New York. Yeah. It's awesome.
And Josh Hart was a great addition. Yep. He's a wonderful he's another basketball player. You know what I mean?
And, winner.
And guys, Randall, I got to give Randall his due. I mean, you know, the other night against the Celtics, he was clearly the best player on the floor. Yeah. He's a monster. He can inside, outside. He's tough minded. I'm happy for Tibbs too. He took a lot of crap at the beginning of the year.
I thought he'd be fired by now.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be gone. I thought we'd be talking about John Calipari right now as potentially the next coach of the New York Knickerbockers because of his relationship with Leon Rose and Worldwide West.
Well, I'm happy for Tibbs. He's our boy. He's our local guy. Salem State lives. God love him. And, I find it hard to root against him. So,
all right, guys, to wrap it up, Jeff, I know that you know John Morant. You covered him. He was sued for punching a teenager while playing hoop at his home. Back in January, it has been written that Morant was defending himself, and now he was seen on Instagram, a live stream, holding a gun at a strip club while in Denver. So he's taking some time away from the team, which seems to be a good idea. I never knew of any issues with him in the past. He certainly has had a lot of pressure. He's had to carry this team. What's going on there?
Well, you know, Jason Tatum's had a lot of pressure. He's had to carry his team, and he's not making these type of bad decisions. So, you know, I think I was the first one ever to do a national story on John Morant when he was at Murray State. And, man, love talking to him. Have had, you know, other interactions with him over the years. And, listen, he's young. He's young. A lot has come at him very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, so
– I'm sorry.
Some guys make mistakes. And you know what? Hopefully he learns from it. You know, let's not condemn him too much.
No.
Okay, let's not condemn him too much. He hasn't done anything so egregious yet, and hopefully he won't. Hopefully now this is kind of an alarm to him to, hey, you know what? Get the right people around you. Make some good decisions. Again, I'm all for Ja now. Kind of figuring it out. He's young, and it's all come quick.
I'm asking: Are you backhanding the current allegation that he has entered rehab because he's got an alcohol problem, and this is the core of everything?
No idea.
Well, I don't know, but allegedly,
it's kind of like he's taking a leave. It's up in the air, Bob, right?
It's about Hennessy and tequila. It ain't about beer and wine.
Well, you know what? Whatever it is, I just hope he gets help for whatever it is. And you know what? Gets back to where he's happy. Because I just remember the first conversation we ever had. And, man, talking to him, again, he was happy. And even in Memphis, he seemed, you know, again, he seemed like a refreshing young kid who enjoyed it and was really good to people. And things can change quickly.
You backtrack our podcast listeners, one of the discussions we had a number of months ago or some time ago about the new face of the league, and we were and that he Right. Posing the question is Ja Morant perhaps, you know, because he's little guys are always more accessible to the average fan than big guys, you know. Yep. And this guy was so dynamic, so exciting, so exhilarating, yeah. You know, for us. And you know, I wish him the best too. I mean, if he does in fact have an alcohol problem, let's hope he can get it addressed. And as far as the gun thing is concerned, in Tennessee, you could carry an open pistol, unfortunately. You know who came to his defense? Not surprisingly. Paul Pierce. Did you see that tweet?
No. Did he really?
Paul Pierce reminded people how he almost died. And as it was, you know, as a result, he started packing. Right. Right. And he said, and it basically is implying, you guys don't understand the life
what it's
of,
like.
Of an African American.
Like. Yep. Yep. Athlete. We don't.
Okay. We don't. So Paul Pierce jumped to his defense in that regard.
I don't know if I'd want Paul Pierce jumping to my defense right now of all people. But he did, obviously, he had a life-altering incident at a nightclub.
Came that close, apparently. We're told he came that close to dying if they got the heart. Sure. They missed the heart.
Guys, always a pleasure. We'll do it again next week. Jeff, don't worry. We'll get into some NCAA here at some point. Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, driven by HelloFresh. Guys, we'll talk to you soon.